Good afternoon, everyone. This is Dave McManus, Berean Baptist Church, coming to you with the news in focus today. We're down here in North Carolina dealing with a little bit of ice, and, you know, we don't deal with that real well, so we don't have school today, but several of us are in the office trying to get a few things done, and I thought it would be a good time for a news in focus podcast, one I've been trying to get to for a few days now, so I thought now would be a good time. There was an article linked on Sermon Audio back on February 10th, so about a week ago, that was from The Blaze, and I'll probably link this one to this article just so it comes up on the News and Focus page up in the front. But it was from Katy Perry, who, if you know anything about pop culture, you probably may have heard of her, most recently because she performed at halftime of the Super Bowl. Now, we had a Super Bowl party here after our evening service here a couple weeks ago. We did not watch the halftime performance. The TV went off during the halftime performance, so I'm not exactly sure. I've seen pictures and heard a few things about what went on there, but we didn't watch it here at the church. But the thing that came out of this article is that before she went on the Grammy Awards the other night, she got stopped on the red carpet, and she was being asked about her halftime performance, and she said she got a word from God. She said, I was praying and I got a word from God, and he says, you got this and I got you. And then I was on top of the lion. Yeah, she performed on top of a giant lion. How about that for a transition? And a random guy looked at me with a headset that I'd never communicated with before. He looked me straight in the eyes and said, you got this. And I was like, oh, that's God confirming I can do this. All right. So there's your background story, is that, God told Katy Perry, you got this, and I got you. And then some guy came up and said, hey, you got this. And she said, well, there's confirmation that it's God. Well, I came across this blog the other day, and I think I've maybe done one other podcast. I can't remember, but this guy seems familiar to me. I think I remember doing something on this a while back, on this this writer. The blog is called Happy Sonship, S-O-N, Sonship. And it's written by a guy named Carlos Rodriguez. Let's see if I can get to his bio here so I can tell you exactly who he is. Carlos A. Rodriguez, happily married to Catherine, father to Carlos Alejandro and Carlos Sebastian, born and raised in Puerto Rico, loved and trained in Toronto, serving and pastoring at Catch the Fire Raleigh, rebel to self, lover of Jesus, hashtag happy sonship. So he's from right down the road here in North Carolina. And he has a blog entry on this exact topic that says, when God speaks to Katy Perry. Like I said, I came across this the other day, and then I had a church member send it to me the other day and said, hey, you should do a podcast on this. And I said, yeah, I've got this on my computer right now. It's sitting there waiting to be done. And so to fulfill my word, I'm going to go ahead and do my podcast on this. So when God speaks to Katy Perry. Carlos writes, 65 million Twitter followers saw it. Before the halftime show of the recent most-watched Super Bowl, pop superstar Katy Perry quoted Psalm 118:24. Today is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Then, according to her, this happened. It's funny, I was praying and I got a word from God, and he says, isn't that great? A word from God. We've talked about that around here before. How do you argue that? I got a word from God. And he says, you got this and I got you. And then I was on top of a lion and a random guy, just looked on me with a headset that I've never communicated with before. And he just looked me straight in the eyes and said, you got this. And I was like, oh, this is God confirming I can do this. The religious critics were unleashed. Like hounds, they sniffed for the heresy of her words. And filled with righteous anger, they said, how could God speak to such a sensuous and evil person? Of course it wasn't God. She's a rebellious, divorced LGBT defender who has abandoned the one true faith. She's stupid and part of the Illuminati. Maybe. Maybe it was her own mind who made it up. Maybe it was the devil tricking her. Maybe it was God, because maybe, just maybe, he still speaks to those who are broken and afraid. Maybe God is still a father, and maybe he still likes to encourage. People will say that it is impossible for God to be nice to Katy Perry, because before she was about to sing I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It in front of millions of people. But if God refrained from speaking to humans based on their proximity of their next sin, trust me, friend, no one would ever get to hear his voice. Who knows, maybe God said those things because his kindness leads us to repentance. I believe the God of the Bible is interested in being the God of the people. And Jesus proved that by not setting a new religious standard, but actually signing for us. a new contract of relationship. It is very clear that Jesus came for the lost. That was his mission. Maybe we should join him because that includes us. Okay, so we're given the old guilt trip of sorts there, right? Jesus came for the lost. That was his mission. Maybe we should join him in that. Well, okay, I'm with you. Evangelism, join the lost. That's not what we're talking about right here. We're talking about a woman who is openly against Christianity. She grew up in a Christian home, and she has been very vocal, as we'll quote later in the article, that she has walked away from the faith, that she is not a Christian, that she believes God is some sort of, you know, pluralistic, all-powerful force. So to say that, well, you know, maybe we really shouldn't be so judgmental, I think you're missing it. You're going around the bush here. It says Katy Perry still has a tattoo that reads Jesus on her left wrist. Well, that means, obviously, that's a big thing, right? She got the tattoo as a constant reminder of her religious upbringing, which will always be a part of her. She didn't get it because she loves the Lord. She didn't get it to remind her of her salvation. She didn't get it to remind her of the sacrifice that Jesus made when he came to this earth, when he lived a sinless life, when he was nailed to a cross, when he died a seditionous death, even though he was absolutely innocent, when he took on the wrath of God. That's not why he was resurrected from the dead and he now sits at the right hand of the Father. That's not why she got it. She got it to remind her of her religious upbringing, which, by the way, I may add, she has commented on negatively in most cases. In 2009, she told Katie Couric, "I knew I wanted this on me because no matter how much changes around me or how much I change, there's not really an eraser for this." She says that when she plays the guitar, it stares right back at me. It's like, remember, you came from this, and you can always go back to it. You came from this, and you can always go back to it. Do you see how she's, it's a system of thought. It's a philosophy. It's a lifestyle. It's not God. It's not salvation. It's not a new creation in Christ. It's something I can choose. If I ever want to get back to it, I'll get back to it. Yes, she can. Always come back. But the better news is that God has never left her. Well, I would argue that God was probably never with her. So this whole God has never left her thing. He's always available to all his children, whether they are at home or they are drifting. Yes, he is available to all his children. The question is Katy Perry one of his children? Because based on the evidence I have, she is not. Now, maybe you can make an argument. She's a carnal Christian, one of my least favorite terms in the world. She's backslidden, another term that I don't really like, I think might be a myth. We like to get this idea, well, I know she's totally forsaken everything and she's doing all of the things, but she grew up in the church, so she's probably saved. I think it's safer and more responsible to assume the opposite. To assume that she's all good probably isn't the most loving way to approach this, as much as the world wants to tell us that. And if we are so sure that Katy Perry can't hear the voice of God, then we need to bring to question the burning bush for the murderer Moses, or the encounter on the road to Damascus for the terrorist Saul, or the multiple times the adulterous King David entered the presence of God. You see, Scripture is full of undeserving hearers who somehow just before or after sinning got to hear God's voice, and their lives were changed forever. All right, so let's look at some of these examples. You know, maybe we can make a parallel between these examples and Katy Perry's example. Exodus 3. The bush is burning. Verse 4. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." And then he said, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land of the good and the broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey." And on and on and on and on. "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." All right, so we've got that. "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I've seen my people. They are under taskmasters, and you are going to lead them out of Egypt." Versus, "You got this." I can see a very good parallel there that this would be an appropriate example to use. You know, I mean, that makes perfect sense. God speaking out of a burning bush to Moses to go lead the Israelites out of Egypt to, hey, you're about to go sing a song about kissing a girl. You got this. I'm sure that's the same thing, right? Let's talk about Paul. How about Acts chapter 9 when Paul is converted? He comes as a bright light. Let's see. Suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, Paul heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, but rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." And he gets up and he goes into the city, and obviously he has made a chosen instrument to bring, the Lord says to Ananias to deliver this message, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." All right, so you are a chosen instrument. It's hard to kick against the pricks, Paul. I need you to serve me. I need you to love me. I need you to preach my gospel. And you're going to understand what suffering is. And you're going to go preach this very gospel that you've been rebelling against and persecuting to the Gentiles. Versus, you got this. Go stand on that giant lion and sing horribly sinful songs. Again, I see a great parallel there. We could choose many choices for David and go through all of the Psalms and different things that David experiences with God. And I dare say that none will be anywhere close to an equivalency of, you got this. So this idea that, well, hey, God speaks to sinners. Yeah, he does speak to sinners. But he speaks to his sinners. He speaks to the ones that he has redeemed. He speaks to the ones that he has saved. And you know what God does when he speaks? And I'm not even talking about necessarily an audible voice. Obviously, we've got those in our biblical examples. You know when God speaks to you from the scripture? It's when you're a believer. It's when you have the Holy Spirit to help you to discern it. Sure, an unbeliever can pick up this Bible and they can read it and they can understand basic things. But they don't have the illumination. They don't have that conduit, that line that goes directly to our mediator, Christ Jesus, in order to get that word from God that we like to throw around like it's an advice column. This Bible that's sitting in front of me and the Bible that's sitting in front of you is the Word of God, and it's the only Word of God that you need, and it still speaks today. Long before Katie was singing about kissing girls, she used her talents as a quote-unquote Christian singer. And you can buy her Christian album as Katie Hudson in Amazon for more than $100. She once told Vanity Fair that as a child, her parents, both evangelical pastors, well, that's an interesting thing, both evangelical pastors, I wonder how broad that evangelical idea is, or if they're both evangelical pastors, wouldn't read any book to her other than the Bible and refused to let her listen to non-religious music, so she questioned Christianity from an early age. So the reason why she questioned Christianity is because they wouldn't let her listen to non-religious music. Maybe something could have been done better on that end. In a 2013 interview, Perry said that she no longer identifies with a specific religion, but still feels that she has a connection with God. "I'm not a Buddhist, I'm not a Hindu, I'm not a Christian, but I still feel like I have a deep connection with God." I have to tell you, Katie, that's not God you're having a connection with, because there's only one way to that God. She says, "I pray all the time for self-control, for humility. There's a lot of gratitude in it. Just saying thank you sometimes is better than asking for things." So she doesn't praise the God of the Bible. She doesn't lift up the name of Jesus Christ. She has a connection with God, quote unquote. She prays for self-control and humility. She meditates. She does those sorts of things. So here's what Carlos says. "So I'm not sure, but I want to believe God spoke to Katie. I want to believe he's still speaking to her right now, because that's my hope for everyone who is lost or broken or famous or perfect, that they will hear the vibrations of love and the sounds of salvation himself." Hey, yeah, I would agree. I want all to get saved. Perry's dad, Keith Hudson, is a pastor in California. He's said that he's proud of his daughter, despite previously criticizing the messages in her music. And that's probably similar to what God the Father would say. See, I don't think that's what God the Father would say. I don't think God the Father would say, "I'm proud of Katy Perry for singing about sex and singing about kissing girls and singing about whatever else she sings about." I'm not privy to her CD currently. But God the Father would absolutely not be proud of what Katy Perry is doing. No matter how much her own father is having trouble with his own beliefs and dealing with that and loving a rebellious daughter, right? I'm not saying that's an easy thing, and I'm not saying that a lot of us wouldn't try to reconcile that in the same way. God, our Heavenly Father, would not be proud of the steps that Katy Perry is doing. I believe Jesus wants to share so much redemption and beauty with Katy Perry. I do too, but that hasn't happened. So I pray that she would continue to remember the good seeds planted by her mom and dad. How good were they? And forgive all the bad ones. But most of all, I pray that we, the church, would continue to focus on the plank in our eye instead of the speck in everyone else's. I'm not sure this is a speck, Carlos. I'm not sure that singing about kissing a girl and wearing scantily clad things and being as controversial as she possibly can and basically distancing herself as much as possible from the name of Jesus Christ is a speck. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying that we've got it all figured out, but that seems more than a speck to me. Yes, I'm always tempted to judge the ridiculous excitement we feel when someone on TV says the word God, but somehow I feel hopeful about this one. I don't feel hopeful because I want her 65 million Twitter followers to hear about her born-again experience. I feel hopeful because I know that God loves his daughter. I know that he's been there when she's ignored him, and I know that his mercy has been new through her brokenness and shame, just as he has done for me, just as he has done for you. So let's join Sister Katy and declare with a smile, today is the day that the Lord has made. I will joy and be glad in it. Okay, I'm not sure she's Sister Katy, and I'm not sure that God talks to her, and I'm not sure that God hears her prayers. Well, how can you say that? How in the world can you say that God does not hear Katy Perry's prayers? Well, I go to Isaiah 66:18 that says, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. You say, well, you know, that's kind of that's an Old Testament thing. Are you sure that's what's going on here? Well, Isaiah 58, where was I? I'm sorry, Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But, verse 2, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. So it seems that sometimes God doesn't hear prayer. And why doesn't he hear that prayer? Because your iniquity has gotten in between you. Because he cannot be around sin. Because he cannot honor that. And he says, well, she's a daughter of God. Well, I would argue that maybe that is not an accurate statement either. John chapter 8, when he is talking to the Pharisees, verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. If God were her father, she would love Jesus Christ. That's what identifies you as a child of God. You love the Son, you love the Father, you love all things gospel. Why do you not understand what I say? It's because you cannot bear to hear my word. And obviously, based on the lyrics that Katy sings, she can't bear to hear his word either. You are of your father, the devil. Wait, she's of her father, the devil? She's not a child of God? Is that a possibility? Can we not all be children of God? And we're all out there praying to the same God? Jesus says, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. So, why is Katy Perry not believing in Christ? Why does she not have faith in a risen Savior? Why can she make God this disembodied kind of general force? Why can she still claim to have a, quote, connection with God? Because maybe she's got a connection with the God of this world. Maybe she has a connection of the God of self. Maybe she has a connection of any other incarnation of false godhood that's out there. But I can promise you, based on what I have seen, she does not have a connection with the Father God. And if she did, then she would act differently. So here is our big error as the church. And I'm not saying Carlos has a bad heart. He obviously has a big heart, and he wants to see people get saved. And I'm with him, and I share his desire for that. But in doing so, he is discounting lack of fruit, overwhelming lack of fruit. And he is also trying to make equivalencies between born-again, saved, faithful believers and someone who doesn't believe in Christ. So, does God hear the prayer of unbelievers? Well, boy, we could probably sit here for another hour and talk about that. But I think there's very good evidence that he does not. And you may not like the sound of that, because that throws out that whole sinner's prayer idea. You know when God hears prayers? God hears prayers when you are in his family, when you have been adopted, when you have put your faith in him. Well, how does that happen? Well, it doesn't happen unless he draws you. That doesn't happen unless he calls you. Now, if he calls you, you are justified. If you are justified, you will eventually be glorified, right? We've got that idea. But you have to be called first. You will not love him unless he loves you first. You will not choose him unless he chooses you first. And I know that ruffles all kinds of feathers, and it really throws a wrench into this whole, well, we should just get everybody to say this prayer. The fact of the matter is that prayer does nothing unless the Holy Spirit draws you. So what should we pray for? Not that Katy Perry comes back to the faith, that she figures out what she once knew. We should pray that Katy Perry gets radically saved and starts being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if that happened, I guarantee you her music would change. I guarantee you her delivery would change. I guarantee you we'd have a whole new view of who Katy Perry is. And she wouldn't be talking about the things that she talks about. And she wouldn't describe God as this disembodied force. She would describe God as her Savior. She would describe God as the creator of this universe, who is worthy of praise and worthy to be worshipped. Not somebody who gives her self-control and humility and other things and tells her that she's got this when she's going to go sing the most godless lyrics on the face of the earth. So while I can appreciate the heart of our blogger here, I totally disagree with his application. I think his use of scriptural examples is irresponsible. I think they're absurd and ridiculous. If you try to compare Saul and Moses and David to Katy Perry, and that idea of revelation is the same, it's awful. And it's doing more harm than good. So should we pray for Katy Perry? Yeah, that she gets saved, that she gets radically saved, that she experiences a spirit that I don't think she's ever known. Growing up in a church family doesn't make you saved. Growing up in church doesn't make you saved. Putting your faith in the one and only Jesus Christ and his gospel is what's going to save you. So let's stop this nonsense of every time a celebrity says God, we jump all over it and think this is the new thing of Christianity. In most cases, it's not. Let's be real careful. Let's give credit where credit is due, and that's God, not the celebrity who half-heartedly mentions him in a speech somewhere or in an interview somewhere. He deserves much more than that, and to trivialize it is just ridiculous. If you have any comments, please post them directly to this podcast. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.